Now we're going to talk with an artist who has used advertising images in his work, James Rosenquist, who captures a lot of the shiny, super bright, super saturated colors of commercial culture in his paintings. Rosenquist's visual language has been a kind of surreal montage of lipsticks and Day-Glow detergent packages and Navy fighter jets and car parts and all kinds of things. A retrospective of his work is now showing at the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao, Spain. When the exhibit was at the New York Guggenheim earlier this year, I met Rosenquist there to talk about his art and his early years painting billboards for a living.
Well, when I was at the Art Students League, I thought, where can I learn how to paint the Sistine Chapel? Where can I learn traditional mural painting? The painters at Artcraft that were retiring when I was coming in, they were incredible painters. With a 3-4-inch brush, they could paint a whole battle scene. Like, they were just so facile.
So out of advertising, out of that world,
you know. I was lucky to learn a lot of stuff. People said, well, isn't your fine art like billboards? I said, no, my billboards were fine art. Because I knew when I'd paint Gene Simmons or Gregory Peck or Burt Lancaster, I knew all the bones in the head. Well, they were from a photograph. It looked damn good. It wasn't just sort of a flat photo of a flat face.
And then at a certain point, did you stop for your own work, personal work, painting abstractions and start painting more like you were doing in your day job?
No. Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what happened. I mean, I was immersed in paint. I painted paint by the gallons and the gallons and gallons. I painted the Astor Victoria Theater 7 times. Which is 395 feet wide and 58 feet high. We painted every imaginable
thing. It's about a half an acre of sign.
Yeah, no, seriously, you know, right up close, I would be painting a big Arrow shirt, 2-3 stories tall, and the boss would come in and say, the neck looks dirty, you gotta change the neck. So I said, what? So I used to take the dirty neck color home. Then they'd say, the beer, they don't want pass. There's not enough hops in the beer. So I said, what do you mean? He said, you gotta make it a little darker. And the whole beer glass, a little teeny weeny bit darker. And he said, okay, it'll pass. And I used to take this color home and I made abstractions with wrong color. I called them the wrong color paintings.
Because it was billboard paint rather than fine art paint?
Yeah, it was crappy, bad paint, really bad. All the teachers in most art schools were teaching youngsters to express themselves, and I mean, just throw paint on the canvas and see what it says. All of a sudden, it seemed that the aesthetic of the dripped, splashed paint seemed old-fashioned. It seemed redundant. It seemed there already was good guys doing that, including Bill de Kooning, who was a very good friend of mine. Franz Klein I met, but I didn't know too well. Never met Pollock. Barney Newman was a good friend. They were doing that and they were well known, and it seemed to be ridiculous to follow in those footsteps. You learn from it, but you don't do it. Young artists come along, they copy someone else and they get sort of semi-known for it, but they never had those. I mean, I never lived Jackson Pollock's life, thank God.
You wouldn't be here talking to me if you had.
No, God, no.
Should we go out and look at some paintings? So this is President-elect,
yeah.
Which is dominated by this big figure of Jack Kennedy's face.
Yeah. See, while painting billboard signs and everything, I was always fascinated how people advertise themselves. He wasn't president yet. This was done during the Eisenhower days. I saw him, actually, wearing a baby blue suit, sitting on the back of a car down on Broad Street, this jaundiced face and his light-colored hair. I thought, God, he looks like an advertisement, okay? So then I said, what is his campaign promise? A piece of cake and a Chevrolet. It was kind of like that kind of a joke. And that's what it was.
So we have the front fender of a Chevrolet and a piece of cake here.
It took on now. It's a total different context because the legacy of his family. And I think in other people's minds it changed. But to me, it still remained the same as this yellow jauntist guy as a campaign promise, a self-advertising. It still remains the same with me.
As we approach F-111, which is 80 feet long, is...
86 feet.
Well, there's the F-111 jet obviously goes all the way around, but yes. Then there are other fractured images paste over it, like a chrome-plated
It's a hairdryer with a little gorilla girl, which I wanted to be like a metaphor of the pilot of this aircraft going through this flak of the economy, something like that. The ideas for this picture came from a multiplicity of ideas, and one was visiting an amusement park and seeing a B-36 corroding quietly away. We were well into the Cold War with Russia, which seemed to be, both sides seemed to be paranoid with each other, with this big waste of energy that was producing obsolete war weapons and not hospitals and so on. So that kind of idea. And I thought of my life as a big joke. I thought of my existence as a joke. Just ridiculous.
This was your existentialism, your North Dakota existentialism?
Yeah. It was a big joke because all this economy was giving families a house, 2.5 children, and 3.5 cars.
And then obviously here you have a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, like at a resort. If you're in a resort in Nevada and they're blowing off a...
Oh, because you have a kind of a beach umbrella overlapped with the mushroom cloud.
Yeah, a little snow on it. Yeah.
Now this is, as a kid who grew up with that was the Skelly logo, wasn't it?
No, it's Mobile Gas.
Oh, Mobile Gas.
And when I was older, these kids, I used to pull a little wagon saying, my daddy sells Mobile Gas.
So you use pieces of Tide boxes and all kinds of corporate logos. Here we have a mobile oil flying horse.
Sure.
No lawyers ever sent you letters threatening you or things
legal
like,
schmeagle.
Like the mobile logo? No? Did mobile ever come out after you and say,
why? Why would they? I got a lawyer joke. God was having a big argument with the devil and he got so tired of it, he's going to sue the devil. And then the devil says, where are you going to get a lawyer? Got a boom. No. If you see an image in a magazine, like I have some of these, and I paint it from that. I'm painting from a contemporary landscape. You have to know the law.
I think you could give me an autograph.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Here, let me write on his back. There you go.
Thank you so much.
Sure. This suite of pictures is for the Guggenheim Deutsche Bank Museum in Berlin. The title is The Swimmer in the Econo-Mist.
Well, the swirl effect is what makes one think that it's...
Well, this is like clothes in an automatic washer, you know, and the imagery is from soap boxes.
Now, you have fragments of Picasso's Guernica in
this work. Yeah, it's an abstraction.
You haven't done that so much, have specific references to
that. Never, hardly ever, because I think, hey, baby, I'm living right now. Now is the time. There's such an abundance of idea around anyway, so why talk about the past?
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It was fun.
I got a couple more jokes.
A retrospective of James Rosenquist's work is showing at the Guggenheim in Bilbao, Spain through October.